In 1886, William Booth put the call out. He says, we want to make a pledge for the work around the world for the Salvation Army. And he goes and he says, what we're going to do is you're going to give as much as you can. And there was a commissioner at the time, his name, Carlton is his last name. I can't remember his first and the rest of it. But he looked at some of the pledges that other people had said that they would do, and he thought there was no way that he was to match that of wealthy people around him. And so what he decided to do was he was going to give up pudding for a year. He was going to have one less pudding each week, each day, and so that he could put the money that he would spend on the pudding to go towards the work. And so started the self-denial appeal, where William Booth thought this was such a great idea that he says, no, I'm not going to ask people to make a pledge of something specific, but for each person that they might sacrifice something of themselves so that they might be able to invest in the worldwide work of the army and what God is doing. And so when Dad, for those of you who don't know me, Ivan is my dad, you could probably tell, but that's okay. And you could probably tell because I probably move very similar. So it's a bit of a tennis match today. You get to watch me as I walk around, but it's good. He said, look, it's self-denial launch. Would you be able to just share something of your heart for self-denial? And I get to have a train behind me, following me. So that's good. And so I said, sure, yeah. I've got a word that I want to share that is about generational transfer. This might be a term that you might have heard before. It might not be. It might be new to some of you. So we'll go with this. But what generational transfer is about is it's about thinking of the next generation to come. And so that's what we're going to take in this next few moments, is take an opportunity to look at Scripture, to look at what God might be saying to us this morning. Now, we are here and we want to hear from God, right?
Yeah.
I hope so. If not, why did you come? Because I come to church not only to meet with each other, but I want to have an encounter with the living God.
Yeah.
I want to have an encounter that's going to change me, that I'm going to walk out the door different than what I walked in. And so I'm hoping this morning, being part of Hut City this morning, that I get to do the same, that I get to come and to come in one way and walk out different because I've not only encountered God, but I've encountered God with you.
Yeah.
So before I continue, I want to honor Sarah. Your word last week was just so spot on. If you weren't here last week and you haven't had an opportunity to hear the word from last week, you need to. This week there was a bit of a joke because Brent on Facebook, if you're not on Facebook, you should get on there for the comments that Brent makes. He made a comment about the hottest preacher he's ever seen. And so I jokingly put, well, you wait till this week, mate. Mate, it lives up to the expectation. No. But I said, I heard it was really good. Because obviously I hear what goes on in this house because I am connected to this house. We are family. We have the same parents at this point in time, but we are connected. And so then Jamie says, well, you don't just have to hear that it was good, you can hear it for yourself. And so I did. I've listened to that message, and what a powerful message, what a powerful testimony you have of God's goodness and His grace and His mercy to you. And I just thank God that He's got you in this place for such a time as this. And we know that at Kingdom Conference there was so much that God was doing and that He's going to continue to do, and that was just another walk, and that hot worship leader that you get to marry, that was just awesome. So, hey, thank you for what you're doing and for the testimony that God is good and that we are no longer slaves to fear. We no longer have to be slaves to fear. That is my testimony. My testimony is this, that fear used to cripple me from doing anything. I used to have to, you know, as a young fella, I would go out to youth groups and stuff, but I had to dictate where it was going to take place. If it was in a church where I knew, for me, it was my anxiety would create that I would need to go to the toilet all the time, which was really inconvenient, but it meant that I could control the situation. So if we went out somewhere that I didn't know where we were going, I wouldn't go. I just would fake sick or just be unattainable, and it would cripple me. It would cripple me. We would go on trips, and it would cripple me. I couldn't go anywhere because it was crippling. And God has set me free from this. And last year, we went to Australia with Mum and Dad for a holiday to celebrate his 60th birthday. And again, the creeping in of fear started to come back. And it was a couple of days before. And I turned to Jess and I said, Jess, I'm just feeling so anxious about going and flying. I hate flying. If you've spoken to Mum at all, she hates flying too. And so we've learned a tool since being at Tawakor. We have a prayer ministry. It's called Sozo Prayer Ministry. And what it does is it looks for the roots of lies that you believe, and it gets God to deal with them. And it is totally about connecting you back with Father God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we use these tools. We work through this, and God took me that the root of fear of flying came into my family through my grandfather when he joined the Air Force. Now, he had never told me this. Mum had never said anything about it. But as soon as I dealt with that fear, as soon as I forgave my grandfather for allowing that to come into our family line, I broke that off. Then the following day, I got up to go to the airport. And I thought, I don't feel anxious at all. I thought, this is really weird. This was now to be my new norm. I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know how to handle it. And so God can set us free. Amen? He wants us to be free. He doesn't want us to be bound by fear. He doesn't want us to be crippled by the things that might have come our way. Now, life will throw things our way, but it's our choice what to do with it. And so God showed me that He has been there all the way through it. So that's good. So yes, thank you, Sarah, for last week. So if you didn't hear it, you've got to get on. If you don't know how to work technology, talk to Jamie. He will sort it out for you. He'll make it accessible for you. But you need to hear that testimony. You need to hear that word that was shared. You need it you need it to sit in you and to soak in and to say, God, is there anything in me that I fear? Am I a slave to fear? Or can I be set free? So thank you. Thank you, Sarah. So good. So if you've got your Bibles, which I hope you do, because I know my father, and if he doesn't tell you to bring your Bibles, I don't know who will. I'm sure he tells you a number of times to bring your Bibles, and not only with your Bibles, what might be the other thing that he might tell you to bring? Notebook. Oh, he's doing well for 6 months in. So I am a product of generational transfer. I am a product of generational transfer. Of a decision that my father made, my grandfather started it, that Byzant men were no longer going to be alcoholics. I praise God for that. Anyone, if you'll hear the story of my grandfather, now he was a dry alcoholic. Although he had stopped the drinking, the tendencies were still there. And my dad, he says, well, Byzant men and no longer going to not feel emotion, so which just wrecked it for me. For me and my sister, for us, the next generation, it wrecked it for us. Because any time we get into any place of where God's moving or thing, I'll be weeping like a baby. I will be crying. But I thank God that I am that way, because I wouldn't want to be the other. I wouldn't want to be so numb that I don't sense or feel or experience God in that way. So I honor Dad. And so I am a byproduct, as you can tell. Of generational transfer, of someone saying, well, I'm going to pour into the next generation so the next generation will not only have to start where I started, but they will continue on from where I'm going to finish so that they can run harder and faster. It's like the relay race. Relay races, it's about the 100 meters that they run. The first person will always be slower because they're doing it from a standing still. The second, third, and fourth person will always run faster than the first person. No matter what speed that they can run, they will always run faster because they're starting at a running start. And so too, I come to you today and I say, well, this is a product of me picking up the baton that my father's passed on to me and being able to run with it. And I'm saying to you that this is what the desire of our hearts has got to be as disciples of Jesus Christ. We've got to have a desire to pass on to the next generation, that our decisions that we make wouldn't be for ourselves, but that they would be for the generations to come. I talk about it that I want to see that for my kids, Elisha, Summer, Josiah, Azariah, maybe one more next year. We don't know, maybe. But maybe. We'll see what God brings. We're going away to Rarotonga, just saying. No, too much information. Sorry. But we, you know, we would see that the decisions we make today, we don't want it just to be for us, but it would be for our kids. And not only for our kids, but for our grandkids. And not only for our grandkids, but our great-grandkids. Not only for our great-grandkids, but for our great-great-great-grandkids. And so on and so forth. That the decisions that we make today will impact generations to come. So you've got your Bibles. You're going to turn with me to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Starting at verse 4, and it says this. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and His wonder He has done. He decreed status for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His command. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, surely not us, whose God were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. I want to pull this passage apart a little bit because I want to say that God is the God of generations. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is not the God of the stagnant. He's not the God of one generation. And I believe as a young person growing up in the church that we've got to have the decision as disciples of Jesus Christ to be a bridging generation, not a terminal generation. What that means is that we wouldn't be a generation that says, well, I've accepted Jesus Christ, so I no longer need to pass this on to anyone else. It would be nice if my kids found Christ, but I'm not really going to work really hard to make sure that they do because, well, I know where I'm going. And I would like to suggest that through the ages, we have been one generation, the church has been one generation from extinction. Thank you. We're one generation away. And I look around, not only here, I look around at Tawa, I look around at different churches that I've been to, and my generation is missing. And my heart grieves. My heart grieves that my peers have lost their way in such a way that they don't know the love of the Father anymore. That they don't have a loving relationship, that in such a way they can come and they, despite all that life may throw at them, because life can suck sometimes. If you think you're going to have Jesus and life is going to be all good, you're listening to the wrong messages. Because it's going to be hard. Life is going to throw crap at you. But it's what you decide to do with it. You can either take it and go, woe is me, isn't this just so unfortunate that it's happening to me? Or you can be like Sarah. I'm going to use you because it's a great example. Or it can be like you, the stuff that life has thrown your way, you've chosen, no, I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand on the promises that God has given me. I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm going to stand and know that God, you have so much better for me. And although it's not easy, you know, I heard that in your story, it's still not easy, but you still continue to stand. So here he talks about the praise that we would pass on to the next generation, the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and His wonders that He has done. So that he decreed His status to Jacob, then to the next generation of Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, so that the next generation would know them. Even the children not yet born would know them, and they in turn would tell their children. That's six generations that God here instructs the psalmist to write. Six generations. So when we look, we don't look at the decisions that we make today to only affect our kids, but we want the next six generations to know of the trustworthy deeds of God. Now, I'm so excited about this prayer, praise, and presence evening that we're going to have. If you didn't get to Kingdom Conference, you missed out. Just Just going to say it. You missed out. It was so good. And what was it good about? Well, why was it good? See, sometimes my English is not the best. And sometimes I get really muddly. And the way in which I write sermons and we work through them is I will speak it out. I will record it. And then Jess will come through and tell me, Nathan, I know what you're saying, but you're speaking in another language to other people. So you need to watch your sentences here. So it's really good. But what it's about is this. I can preach only 10%, 10 to 20% of the sermon this morning, right? The congregation here, us, the body of Christ here, will speak the other 80. It's your choice. See, God didn't create us to be puppets. He created us to be his sons and daughters with free will. So we can choose whether or not we listen. We can choose whether or not we'll engage with it. We can choose whether on he said something that I don't quite like. It might be this. Even the word sozo, and you can do it for yourself. You can go away and have a look at Sozo Prayer Ministry online. We just spent 2 days in a training with the founder of this ministry, and I asked the question because there's a lot of controversy around the ministry, a lot of controversy. And I said to her, I said, how do you deal with the feedback online? She says, we don't. We don't. She said, people know from the fruits that it's a good ministry. People can choose for themselves. We don't have to fight it. We don't have to argue it. And I said, that's really good to know, because I've got some people who struggle with this word, struggle with what it might mean, struggle with the fact that of what this ministry might look like. She said if I hear, because they hear reports of stuff, of abuse that might take place, they'll go to the regional leaders and they'll say, what's going on here? They'll say, we don't even know this person who's doing this. They might have trained once before under their ministry, but they no longer sit under the umbrella of the Sozo Prayer Ministry. So please, if you have heard of stuff, because I know that it is out there. If you hear this stuff, please talk to people who have been in the ministry. Talk to people who have sat under the ministry. Come and take my testimony as an example of the freedom that I've been set free from through God. It's so good. So what was I saying? Thank you. Kingdom Conference. Thank you. Prayer, praise. Thank you. Prayer, praise, presence, evenings. This is a desire that, and the 80%, that's what I was talking about, the 80% that the congregation speaks. Do you know why the Kingdom Conference was so successful? It was because it was like-minded people joined together. It was people that were hungry to go deeper. It was people that had heard something about, oh, what is this about? And it was about them going and saying, okay, well, I don't know what this looks like, but God, I'm going to give it a go. And as they go with a willingness. And that's what happens here on Sunday mornings. You will see it. Some meetings it will just be like, wow, God, you were just everywhere. There was just not a moment where you weren't there. And then there'll be others where it'll be like, oh, I didn't even see you. And then there'll be times where someone will be going, oh, wasn't that just so good this morning? And the person sitting next to you is like, what are you going on about? You know? What are you going on about? That's because we get to dictate. God has given us free choice whether to accept or not. So I say, you know, there may be some stuff that I will say that would be wrong. I'm not going to deny that. I see it all the time with top preachers. I see something and I think, oh, that's not quite right. But I allow God to correct it. I allow that they are so in relationship with Father God that He's going to bring the correction. And now I'm just going to take the good and be like, yeah, I'm just going to run with that stuff. Who cares about the other? I'm just going to run with the good. And so prayer, praise, and presence. So this is going to be a time where we're going to come together as the two core, Tawa and Hutt City. Who would have thought? Different sides of the valley. When I was in prayer meeting this morning at Tawa, I was over there, I was praying, and I was praying for this morning, I was praying for our meeting back home. And I got this picture of just the move of God coming through Wellington and going up either side of the valley. Man, that's cool, eh? That's cool that God would position it in such a way that He would do something in the church through the Salvation Army, that He would do something that would actually just go forth from Wellington, the capital, Man, that's significant. That there is godly people here, that it's just going to spread out throughout the nation. It's going to be great. And I'm so excited because it's a time where we get to come together 5 o'clock on that 4th here. We're having the first one here. We're going to do it September at Tawa. We get to come over here and we just get to encounter God. We get to have space where we have no agenda otherwise. Father God, we just want to meet with you. Man, isn't that good? So, to be a bridging generation, we need to care what's going to happen to the ones around us. Now, it might be that you're sitting here and you don't have children, and you think, well, I'm glad this doesn't include me. No, no. You've got to know that kids, teenagers, young adults, adults, seniors, overcomers, I picked up on that, overcomers, that we are all looking to the next generation. It's like this. At home, kids are fighting. I'm sure your kids don't fight. Kids are fighting. And they're having, they're just going hammer and tongs at it. They're yelling, you come into the room. You go, hey, guys, you know, this is not how we talk in this family. You know, we have family rules. We speak nicely to each other. And then you hear the sarcasm of our eldest go, just yell back. And I turn to Jess, and Jess turns to me, and we look at each other and we go, oh, God, we know exactly where he's got that from. Any other parents know that? That you see it and you're like, that. Jamie, yeah, come on, mate. But it's just like, oh, wow, it's just like looking in a mirror. Same in the life of the church, that spiritual sons and daughters will look at spiritual mums and dads and say, what have you got? You know, man, it's so good. Barry, thank you for sharing of what you do to encourage us to that, hey, if we don't do it, and I love the way that you said about it, that, hey, we stuff up sometimes. There's times where our Bible doesn't get opened. But that's okay, because we're just going to look at what people do to encourage us. So that's so good. There was a pastor. I'll finish after this story. There's a pastor. I haven't preached for 5 weeks, all right? So if you can't tell, I'm just a little bit excited about being here and preaching. It just gets a little bit, woo! So there's a pastor. He goes around to a couple's house for dinner. And they have this lovely meal together. And afterwards, the pastor leaves, and the wife is cleaning up, or the husband and wife are cleaning up together, and she's putting the spoons back in the drawer, and she's quite meticulous, so she knew how many spoons and knives and forks and everything that she had. And she comes, and she sees that there's a spoon missing. And she thinks, oh, that's really strange. We must have misplaced it. She has a look around. So they look for the next year for the spoon. They can't find it. And she goes to the husband, and she says, I think our pastor's stolen our spoon. And he says, oh, surely not. The pastor's too good for this. He wouldn't have stolen the spoon. And so they decided to invite him back to dinner a year later. He comes around for dinner and he has a nice meal with them. And then as they're finishing up for the evening, the wife builds up the courage and she says, I'm sorry, pastor, but we've lost the spoon and we don't know. And it was the last time that you were here, we knew it was here. And he was like, oh, yep, I remember seeing that spoon. And she was like, oh, well, did you happen to take it home? And he was like, no, I put it in your Bible. So good. When I came across that one's so good. So good. Feel free to use that. That's yours. But we want to be a bridging generation. A generation that not only cares about what's going on for us now and making decisions for us, because it's important that we do that, but that we would look to the next and be building in such a way. So my parents did this by this. And officers, kids, you might know this. You might know this, mate. Of times where you just ended up at the army hall at God knows what hour on a Sunday evening at the night meeting. And you're here and you're trying to fall asleep in the front row. And there's just stuff going on around you. Now, I honor my parents because as a young as a young child, I remember being exposed to this, where we would have these meetings where the Spirit of God would just move and people were being slain in the Spirit. And here I am, much like Josiah is this morning, playing with his car, and here I am driving my car over people who have been slain in the Spirit, who are literally stuck to the floor because they couldn't get up under the power of the Holy Spirit. And I thank God that I grew up in that environment where I saw this. Now, Fiona, I honor Fiona as well this morning, because Fiona journeyed with us at Napier Corps for many, many years, and you've seen the move of the Spirit that has come, and that when I came away from Napier Corps, when I came to become an officer, when I started to go around different churches and different Salvation Armies, my heart was grieved because my response was, God, where are you in power? Because I don't see you in power. My heart grieved because I was like, God, where are you now? Where are you now? And he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God, why are you not here still in power? And he says, because people aren't hungry. People have got to be hungry. We've got to create an environment where we want God to move, where we allow him. Because he's a gentleman. He's not going to just come and just, you know, all of a sudden you're all going to end up on the floor. He's not going to do that because he's a gentleman. But if you've got people who are hungering, who are thirsty, and so I'm thankful that is the legacy that I grew up in, that my father was more and my mother were more concerned that, hey, yeah, my kids might be a bit tired because they're up till 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday night. But they were more worried that we got an encounter with the Holy Spirit, that we saw God moving. And although we saw some pretty scary, here's a good point. I saw some pretty scary stuff as a kid, right? You know, this was the days of deliverance where it would get rough. It was getting on. But what I saw was sovereign God. That in the midst of that, even though there was manifestations and there was stuff that as a kid I got scared of, God protected me from that. My fear was never from those things. My fear was never from the demonic. I've never been fearful of the demonic. Why? Because it's been instilled in me that God is so much bigger. So as parents, let's not be worried that our kids might actually catch something, that the devil might get them, because he can't. We've got authority as parents. We've got authorities as men and women here to say, no, you're not going to have a part of that. So we want to be a bridging generation. So can I have the music team up? We're going to sing a praise the name, May. And as we sing this, I want to allow God to move here this morning. He already is. What am I? He's already here. He's already moving. He's already doing what he does. The problem is that sometimes we've got to align ourselves with what he's doing, what he's already doing. And so that's what I guess I want to do in this moment is as we sing this song, I want us to have the opportunity to align ourselves with what God is doing. It might be that he is saying something to you. It might be that he is calling us to, hey, we've got to start making some decisions that are going to impact the generations to come. It might be that he wants to bring a level of encouragement to say, hey, you are still and faithfully making decisions that are going to impact the generations to come. So keep going. Do you know there's nothing better than sitting in the Father's arms and him encourage us? There's nothing better. There's nothing better having moments where we encounter the Holy Spirit and Father God and Jesus all in one place, and he comes to us and he says, you are my son, you are my daughter. There's nothing better. And so I want to give this opportunity that, you know, we have, I'm guessing this is a mercy seat. Yep, we'll get mercy seats. If you don't know what the mercy seat is, you need to know. Mercy seat is a place where you come and you kneel and you just find God there. Now, is there anything specific, you know, can I come and stand over here? Yeah, of course I can. Because at the end of the day, it's just a piece of carpet, it's just a step. But it's what we do there that makes it important. It's the place in which it resembles that makes it important. I love mercy seats Because that is where I found God. That is where I encountered Him. That's where I find that He comes and He just wraps His loving arms around me and just comforts me. So, as we sing, are we going to make a choice that we're going to be a bridging generation, that we're going to stop if we speak in any way, shape, or form, that it would just be about us, that it would just be about our generation, but that we would look out and we would say, no, I want it to be about the next. I want it to be about my kids. I want it to be about my grandkids. I want it to be about my spiritual kids. I want it to be about my spiritual grandkids. And it'll just allow God to do what He wants to do this morning. So let's pray. Stand with me as we pray. Father God, we just thank You for what You're doing in this place. We thank You that You are sovereign God. That God, You come and You just wrap Your loving arms around each one of us now. That by Your Holy Spirit, we would just encounter You, the living God. Why? So that we feel nice? No, so that we be changed into the image and the likeness of Your Son, Jesus. So Holy Spirit, we give You permission to do. We give You permission to do what You want to do this morning. We lay our agenda aside and we say, Holy Spirit, come, have Your way. Have Your way. Amen. Let's worship. So folks, it's now our choice. We have the choice. We have to make the decisions that are going to impact the next generation. We are going to have the opportunity to sow into things that, like the self-denial appeal, that are going to impact generations to come around this world. But it is our choice. And a word of blessing for us all this morning. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. And all the saints said, Amen. Amen.